Open your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 9. We're going to talk a little bit. Before we start, I just want to let you know we are on BitChute and Rumble. And a lot of people have went there. And they went there because of the silencing, let's put it, of what's going on with YouTube. But the problem with those other sites is it's hard to get people to go over there. And so that's why a lot of people just stay on YouTube. But we'll stay wherever we can, where the doors are open for now. And we want to thank the people that are helping us be here, because without you guys, our viewers, we wouldn't be here. And we're so thankful. Words can't say how thankful we are for you helping us. This is an hour where, what are we supposed to do? And we're going to talk about that. What are we supposed to do? What can we do in this hour? What are we supposed to do as the true believers in the face of evil? Open your Bibles here to Ezekiel 9. And Father, we thank you for your holy word, that it's your word. It's not the word of a man or a woman, but it's your word. We thank you, Father, for boldness. We ask you to give us insight. We ask you to show us the way, the path that we should walk on. We ask you to keep us from deception, keep us from evil. We pray protection over our family, over our church family. We thank you for friendship. And we thank you, as the church does go underground, Father, we thank you for connecting us with the right people and keeping us away from the wrong people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I love Ezekiel 8. We're not going to go into that one so much, but it kind of leads up into Ezekiel 9, of course. And Ezekiel 8 here is when Elijah had this vision from the Lord, and he took him through the hole in the wall. And through that hole in the wall, he saw the evil that was being done in the house of Israel. So we wonder why we're shocked that we see so much happening in our visible churches now. It's always been there. It's not new. It's always been there. And the Lord knows. He knows who they are. He hasn't exposed them yet, but he's marking the ones, and this is where we're going into chapter 9. He's marking the ones that hate wickedness and hate and are vexed by the culture of wickedness. And in verse 4 of chapter 9, and the Lord said unto this angel, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst of her. And then in verse 6, it said, slay the old and the young, both maids, little children, women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. And again, God marks those that are his, and so the devil copies. At the end, we see the mark of the beast. But the Lord marks those that are his. We've done a message on that. But here we see that there's so much wickedness. But in the midst of this wickedness, God marks us that stand for him. And what are we supposed to do in this end times when there's so much going on in the world, in the church, so much stuff? The Bible has clues of what we need to do, and we're going to talk about that. But first we see that this isn't just in the Old Testament. In Luke 13, verse 4 through 5, it said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. So we need this healthy fear of the Lord, this fear of loving what God loves and hating what God hates. And one of the things God said he hates is the Nicolaitans. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. But he talks in Revelation 3:15 about the Laodicean church, and that's what we're in now. We're in the era of the lukewarm church. And we shouldn't be surprised, because Jesus predicted it. He let us know that this is going to be there. And the Laodiceans, they didn't love the truth, and they didn't hate evil. They were lukewarm. They were the compromised church. They were the silent church. They were the tolerant church. what is the tolerant church? They put up with and endure compromise. That's one thing we need. We need to hold on to our convictions. It's hard for the enemy to fight someone that's got strong convictions and someone that won't compromise. Because in this day of compromise, the enemy wants us to come underneath the Nicolaitans. And what did they do? They stood between God and the people. And we don't need someone to stand between us and God. That's why he gave us Jesus, so that we could go right in and have a relationship with him. But the enemy always wants to make it so hard, put heavy burdens on you. The silent, tolerant church adjusts to the spirit of the world. And the world gets into the church, and the church changes to accept the world. Rather than the world changing because we're the light, we're seeing now that the churches are being compromised. And the church is giving in to the demands, and it goes silent in the face of evil. And we see here that our faith, our families, our food, our air, our children, our freedoms are all being attacked. We're under a tremendous amount of attack, and it's very depressing to even listen to the news nowadays and to listen to so much fear, torment, all these things. You have to guard your mental health and make sure you don't overdose on bad news, because it is out there. But we have to keep our eyes on that we're marked for the Lord, right? But in all these different attacks, we see that the churches are silenced. And some of the reasons why we're being silenced is because we're being shadow banned, we're being ghosted, our Christian world is totally come under attack, which is persecution, which we knew that those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall be persecuted. If they persecuted Jesus, he said they'd also persecute us. Well, we haven't seen much of that, but we're coming into that now. And so if we speak up, of course, you speak up about anything nowadays, you get ghosted, you get silenced, you get labeled, different things. And the enemy's done a good job at propaganda and trying to stop the truth, because they've done this before in different countries. This has all been tested and proven of how to bring down countries. And if you do any history and you know about the rulers and how they control the people and how what they do, you see it's rinse and repeat, right? But the new tolerance that we're seeing is calling evil good. It's a me-centered and what brings me happiness gospel. This gospel's never about making us happy. It's always been about making disciples, and we're supposed to follow him, right? So what are we supposed to do in this time? Revelations 3:8. Let's turn there. I love this because this should bring encouragement to people in a day of so much discouragement. He's writing to the different churches and to the church of Philippi in verse 8. He said, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength. Thou hast a little strength. You don't have to have a lot. Sometimes we think, oh, we don't have enough of this, we don't have enough of that. We've always said, you got to have more faith, you got to have more of that. You have a faith, a grain of a mustard seed, right? Trusting in him, in spite of so many other things, we trust the Lord. We trust you, God. There's so much going on, but we trust you. Amen. And I love this. What do we do in this hour? We have a little strength, and we keep his word, and we have not denied his name. He's giving them a clue here, and he's also to us. Even in the midst of trouble, he's telling them, you have little strength. That's all you need. All you need is to keep his word, keep his name, don't deny him. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan. Who's the enemy? I'm surprised that 99% of the church world does not understand who our enemy is. Jesus had an enemy when he walked the earth. It was the Pharisees. And we have an enemy as well, the religious cults of our day, the synagogue of Satan, who say they are, I can't even say this word now, and they are not, right? Says they are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold thou fast which thou hast, that no man take your crown. So what do? We keep our eyes on Jesus. We preach the word. We do what we've always done. When one door closes, we go through another, right? We keep walking with him. And I just love that. Little strength. So many people don't know what to do in this hour. You have faith in the Lord, and I just want to say that's enough. That's enough, your little strength. Hold fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. In other words, just keep doing what you're doing. Love the truth and hate evil. And when reality hits us that we've been lied to about certain things, we have to love the truth. We have to love the truth enough to change. We have to love the truth enough to repent. And for you that are suffering with your past sins, just remember that if you've confessed your sin, he's forgiven you. And the enemy just kind of wants to haunt you with guilt and with shame. Repentance is all about change. And God says, repent and what he will forgive us. And there's the enemy of our souls constantly wants to put you under bondage and condemnation. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. If you have repented and you've turned, don't let those old things come back in, those old skeletons in your closet come back up. Because that's the warfare. He wants to attack you once again. Move on. Move on. Let him know I've moved on. And I'm not letting you take my crown. Because the enemy wants you to get defeated. He wants you to get discouraged about stuff you've already overcome. Don't let him drag you back in, right? So keep doing what you're doing. Expose the lies. Expose sins and expose deceptions. Because the church of Laodicea, they didn't hold on to much. They didn't hold on to little. We're going to talk about them in a second. But they compromised. And the biggest compromise we see now is with the ecumenical movements under Rome, the Nicolaitans. We see that the Lord hated the Nicolaitans. And we see, I remember 2017, oh, the whole word of faith was getting underneath this. They were all, we're going to go back to the mother church. And I was shocked to see all the people in the front row of those meetings. You can still look it up online. But we see here this ecumenical movement, universal unity, and the compromised church says nothing. And the compromised leaders say nothing. So what do? We keep sounding the alarm. We tell other people what we see. Their blood's not on our hands. If they receive it or not, it's up to them, yep. Right? Sometimes when we were in these movements, people warned us and we didn't listen. So we had to keep going until we found out for ourselves, well, this wasn't God. This isn't God. And it's everywhere. This movement has been infiltrated. The churches have been infiltrated for many, 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 many years. So we have to learn to walk alone. We have to learn to walk with people that love the truth and also expose lies. We have to learn to walk in the underground churches in these end times. Even though we may have little strength, Proverbs 25:11 said, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Sometimes just that word, when you're walking in the light, you're shining your light, that word that you have, light, a little light exposes a whole lot of darkness. You just turn on the light and all the darkness flees. And that's why the enemy's so threatened by truth and why he so wants to control the airways. He's the prince of the air. Why he wants to stop this, you know, YouTube's control this, control how many people see you, unsubscribe people. That's probably the people that I know that are most discouraged is the ones that are trying to get the truth out there but are not supported, not being listened to. They feel like they're doing all they can, but nobody wants to hear it. What do? Keep on keeping on. Keep doing what you know to do. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Because we have an enemy, the synagogue of Satan. And that's a religious sect. Comes in the name of God. Pretends that they are something and they're not. From a land they're not. There's just a whole lot there. Okay, in 1 Corinthians 14:8, it says, for if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself for battle? If we don't have people on the wall telling truth, if we don't have people there that are willing to face the consequences of being a whistleblower, people will not be prepared. And God wants his people prepared for what the synagogue of Satan is doing. He wants another war. There's many people that profit in war. But I'll tell you who doesn't. Our sons and daughters. And in this one, they want the women as well. So keep praying. Keep warning. Keep watching. Don't get discouraged if people don't want to listen. Just keep saying, Lord, I did what you asked me to do. Now in Isaiah 56:10, let's turn there. Here's Isaiah's rebuke to the leaders. And you can say these are the leaders of the Laodicean churches, but they were also the leaders back in Ezekiel's time. There's always good leaders and bad leaders. There's good policemen, there's bad policemen. There's good lawyers, there's bad. There's always a spectrum of everything, right? So we have to have discernment in this hour of who's speaking the truth and what's their real agenda. Because if we're followers of the Lord, our agenda is to obey him. It's his will. It's not to be famous. It's not to live in this great whatever, do all this stuff that a lot of ministers have gotten themselves entangled into. It's to speak the truth. And even this holy word, to say it, it's just like, this is God's word. We're not to add to it. We're not to take away from it. And there's just a holiness about, wow, he had his angels come and destroy all those that didn't have the mark on them. Well, there's coming a day where judgment's going to fall. And he wins. It doesn't look like he's winning right now. But we're being tested. We're being tried. He's going to find us faithful, even though our strength might be little. So here, Isaiah 56:10, this rebuke, when leaders refuse to warn. His watchmen in verse 10 are blind. They're all ignorant. They're all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping. Lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his gain. This is their agenda, and his quarter. So this isn't new. God's always had people that so-called represented him that really didn't. Their lips might say, Jesus, we honor you, but their hearts are far from them. And he said, doesn't matter, we're going to fill ourselves with wine, ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as this day and much more abundant. They never deal with reality. They're always dealing with their own fleshly lusts. So here we see these watchmen that were not sounding an alarm. Now, to not bark, a dog that does not bark here, that means that they didn't warn. Even if you have a house dog, they bark. They let you know someone's there. Someone that we don't recognize is there, and they're going to keep barking until their owner comes to the door and says, you know, calm down, it's all right. When I was growing up, we had three dogs. We had a Queenie dog. Queenie was the one I would watch when my grandpa went to North Carolina, and she was a Taco Bell dog. And talk about bark, 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 chihuahua, mixture. We had some mixtures, then we had a little tiny runt, but they barked nonstop. We finally got rid of one of them, and when my grandpa came, my mom was so glad to get rid of that second one. But dogs are supposed to warn of impending danger, right? So why aren't they? Why aren't our leaders today telling of what's coming? Why aren't they preparing people for the new systems that are coming in place? For even the new treaties that are coming? For the new pandemics that are coming? For the things that are happening? Oh, you're just a theorist. I can't even say that word now. No, we're realists. And we read the Bible and we believe what the Bible says. Blind they are to the signs of the time. And many of these leaders are as useless as a house dog. And why is that? Well, let's talk about, I did a little study on the shock collar of a dog. and it's an electric remote, and it's a collar they put on to train the dog not to bark or to not behave in a different way. They can send shocks, different levels, or vibrations, sounds, whatever. And you can do different levels, to kind of mild to actually frighteningly shocking. And they put it on for behavior modification. There's 21 levels sometimes if you get a real expensive shock collar of static correction, tone and vibration options. You can go mild to very intense shock. Some shocks last for a moment, others continual shocks. Some collars train by beeping and vibrations, noises, and others 1 to 16 levels static shock. Uncontrollable jolts, and that stops the animal, so-called, from unwanted behavior. Now, the cons of these collars is the shock. It's painful. The fear, the enemy, or the animals get afraid because it's scary. They don't know where it's coming from, and it scares a lot of animals. Some dogs may learn to fear people, objects, or situations they associate with the collar. And then you can overcorrect. Sometimes you put it on automatic bark collars and electric fences and may deliver shocks too often. They don't stop. And by correcting when a problem wasn't even there, the animal doesn't know what it's doing. It just keeps getting these shocks and doesn't know what he did wrong. So it's overcorrection. And then also they don't get enough positive reinforcement and love. So it puts that animal in a state of trauma and fear. Well, this is also why preachers don't bark. This is also some of the things that have happened why the leaders don't talk. They've been silenced by their board members. They've been silenced by people that don't like what they're saying. One of the last meetings that I had, when I had my women's meetings, citywide meetings, I preached in this guy's church, and he said, "I wouldn't preach that if I were you." He said, "I'm friends with all these people." And I was exposing then. I thought, you know what? I have a voice, and I'm still going to use it. I've been in these movements. Now I'm out. I'm going to blow the whistle on all of this stuff. And I started doing it. And he goes, "I wouldn't do it." They started warning me. And I started warning about those that have come underneath this ecumenical movement, in the faith movement, calling us to go back to the mother churches and stuff. He goes, "Well, they're my friends too." And I just thought, what a compromiser. Once I know truth, I'm not going to compromise. When I didn't know, and I was ignorant, and I was stupid, and I was a dumb dog, I didn't bark. But now that I know, I have to bark. We have to bark. We have to tell people, warn them. God doesn't say that the word is a formula. Now, oh, the word works. The word is not a formula that you rub, and you say it 7 times, and the word works. I used to get so tired of that. Oh, the word works, like it's some kind of a magical term and formula. It's not a formula. It's a relationship with the Lord, and we pray, and we seek him, and we worship him, and we've been infiltrated on every level. The worship music's infiltrated. I remember I went years ago, the very first Dove Awards, with our band and group, and someone I could name that was pretty big back at the time. And I saw so many things at that first one. I was just like, it's a business. Of course they are businesses. And there's some things that are, oh, it's okay, it's a business. You have to do something. But then I started seeing other things. And I started seeing infiltrated singers that weren't even Christians, that they pretended they were Christians. Maybe they were set in there. They were given songs. But I was just like, this was before I knew the whole thing that was been infiltrated. I started to see infiltration on different levels. You see things, you see red flags, and then you're like, oh no, that can't be. You know, oh, this leader, he's got to be good. He's got books out. He's on TV. Yeah. He's famous. They have to be good. So why don't preachers bark? Why are they silent? Because they've been told they can't say certain things. And you've got to be willing to step out of those arenas and not preach at those places anymore. It's like, I'm not going to stop preaching what I know is truth just because this leader tells me not to. And I've had different people tell me, I wouldn't say that. That's a little kind of bold on that. Well, it's truth, isn't it? Yeah, but you know, you want people to keep following you, and you want people to support you, and you want fans. It's like, I don't want fans. We're not here to be fan-mamous. There's a new word for you. We're not here to be famous, to have fans. We're here to obey God and speak truth while we still can, because the doors are shutting. The doors are shutting. So preachers, they don't like the shock. They don't like the rebukes. They want to have everyone leave happy. They want to be asked back again. They want more people to come. They want their church paid off. They want a new house. There's many, many incentives for why the preachers don't bark. The pain of rejection. Well, if I preach that, that won't make Elder so-and-so very happy. Oh boy, and trust me, you have people that always want to shut you up. You always have, even in our groups we've had, well, I wouldn't preach that if I were you. You need to do this, this, and this. And I said, I'm not a babysitter. I have to obey what God's told me to do. Just because a lot of people won't do it, we have to do it if God tells us to do it, right? They don't want people to leave their church. The fear of speaking truth, and the pastors and leaders that do speak truth get so attacked and they don't get enough encouragement, they go, it's not worth it. It's just not worth it. I'm just going to compromise and get a real feel-good message. So the result is the Revelation 3:17. Let's turn there. And this is the church we're dealing with that God told us was going to be here in the end times. The Laodicean church that doesn't love truth. And I want to say there are a lot of people in these churches that love the Lord. There's a lot of people throughout the world that don't know where to go to church. God has his marked people, but they're in a situation, they go, this corruption has entered our church. I don't know what to, I get the emails all the time. Now our church has been infiltrated. Now they're preaching this and that and this and that because they have a collar and a hook through their nose. Someone's telling them what to preach, what to say. Well, we have to do this now. So the result is silence. I don't know, when you know truth, don't you hate it when someone tries to put a mask over your mouth? Tell you to be quiet? Just remember, there's going to be a day we stand before God and he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. You might not hear it a lot here. Revelation 3:17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, And that's the thing. They have need of nothing. I am this. I am that. I decree this and that. They don't even need God because they think they are gods. You have need of nothing, and you know not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind. The problem with these spiritual blind people, they don't think they are because their pride has blinded their eyes. If we don't stay humble, we'll go blind, spiritually speaking, because only the humble see the Lord, right? And without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. So why does the enemy want to bring in all this mixture? Because he doesn't want us to have a relationship with the Lord. All this DNA testing and trying to change things and turn people into transhumanists and all this and stuff, it's to undo everything that God has done. To take away the food God has made, the air that God's created, all the different things, the way God has created us to be fruitful and multiply. The enemy does, the synagogue of Satan wants to stop it all, right? And the ultimate battle is between God and the enemy. So he said they're blind and they're naked. There's Ichabod, there's no presence of God on them, although the Nicolaitans say, don't touch the anointed. Come under your covering. Who are you to question us? That should be your first clue. There's no humility. Because they're naked, Ichabod, that means the presence of the Lord has departed from them. So what are we to do? I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mightest be rich, and white raiment, that thou live holy, the best you can, Resist temptation. Don't go where you're not supposed to go. Don't look at what you're not supposed to look at. Don't hear what you're not supposed to hear. Because the enemy's always trying to corrupt. Even little children in the cartoons now, they're doing things that it's like, oh, it just grieves you. The commercials, everything is just, before you can even think, they're doing stuff. He said, that thou mayest be rich, white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mightest see. As many as I love, I rebuke, and I chasten. It's not easy when you've missed it, because God will come after you eventually. If you're his son or daughter, you're doing sin, there comes a time where God's going to confront you. He gives you a chance to repent, but if you keep on persisting, then certain things happen in your life, and God will expose you eventually. And why is he doing that? Because he wants you to repent. He loves you. He said, whom I love, I rebuke and I chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, open the door. I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Because many times here we're talking about this Laodicean church, they're not even saved. They've never opened the door to him. And he's still saying, let me in, let me in, let me in. So the result of this Laodicean church era is silence. They don't want to stand and tell you what the truth is. Now we have to accept what the culture says. The spirit of the world, we got to make everyone comfortable. Make people feel good. What did Jesus do? He warned us about these churches. No longer fearing the Lord, we now have an attitude of tolerance. What is tolerance? Accepting everything. This is the accepting everything church. Forgetting we are to hate evil, we are to expose lies, and we are to expose false doctrines. To the seven churches, Jesus mentions he hates the deeds of the Nicolaitans and the doctrines of the Nicolaitans. Revelations 2, verse 6 and 15. Those who place themselves between Christ and the believer, they rule over the people, and they wear fancy clothes, dresses. They cannot, they'll say, touch the anointed. Don't question the authority over you. If you've got a hard, I've had to flee from these people. They have a strong, authoritative, narcissistic personalities that want to tell you what to do. And they're bossy. They're bullies. They're Nicolaitans. They stand between you and God. You don't need a mediator. You have one. Jesus is our mediator, right? They don't want you to question authority. They bring in strange fire. They create their own ways and their own paths to God other than what God said. And if you say the way God says, they're going to call you out and call you, you're intolerant now. It's a spirit of compromise with the world and sin, paganism and the occult. We've been invaded by occultism. One foot in the world, one foot in the church. No holiness and a lot of control. And lastly, Revelations verse 15. The Laodiceans were lukewarm. They didn't love the truth. And they didn't hate evil. They weren't hot. They weren't cold. They were lukewarm. So what are we supposed to do in this hour? Ye of little strength, first of all, know that what you've got is enough. Whatever God's given you is enough. You don't have to keep striving to go to the next level. I got to ascend. I got to have my next revelation. I got to have my next conference. I got to go to the next level, my next master class. What you've got is enough. What do? We keep sounding the alarm. We hold fast. You stand, having done all to stand, we stand. When we get attacked, we regroup. We keep standing. We get attacked again. We regroup. We keep standing. You get attacked again, you regroup, you keep standing, right? Because in the world, you're going to have tribulation. In these false churches, if you get attacked, they blame you. There's something wrong with your faith that you had. No, they said many afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord's going to deliver us. He's going to deliver us out of them all because we have little strength. It's all you need. It's all you need. And then when God rebukes us, when we do wrong, when we speak wrong, when we're perverse in our mouth, repent. When you use God's name in vain, repent. He doesn't like that. That's why all the curse words are against God. And you have an antichrist cursing mouth. Repent. Change. Turn. I'd rather tell you now than when God, you see God face to face and you see those flames in those eyes and he's like, you didn't fear me. You didn't fear me enough not to even curse my name, right? That's what the devil's crowd does. Just turn on one of their movies and that's all. We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to be separated. All right, let's pray. Having done all to stand, Father, I thank you that we stand. Sometimes it's not easy, but you're going to give us the strength we need. You always have. We look through our life, the valleys, the mountains, the trials, the trouble, the deceptions, the sins, the different things. You've always been there. When we were not faithful, you were faithful because you knew our hearts. And Father, I pray for all of us today, tonight, wherever we're listening, that we know God's with us. He said he's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. Ye of little faith, have a little strength. Keep trusting, keep believing, keep standing, keep resisting the spirit of fear, keep resisting the deception and the lies of the enemy, and having done all to stand, we stand. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said?
Amen. To watch Roberta's messages, you can see her on YouTube at Roberta Morrison. Roberta Morrison 2, the backup channel. Living in His Presence Church on Rumble. Living in His Presence Church on BitChute. And at the livinginhispresence.org website, where you can see all the messages and download them as free audio MP3s. If you would like to contribute to this ministry, go to the main webpage, and on the top right is a give button. Thank you, and see you next time.